Do you need help protecting your finances as you enter retirement? David Dickens of KC Financial Advisors has got you covered. Welcome to the Cover Your Assets KC podcast.
You're back with us for another edition of the Cover Your Assets KC podcast. Walter Storholt here alongside David Dickens, President and Wealth Advisor at KC Financial Advisors, serving you throughout Kansas City with an office in Overland Park. Find David online by going to coveryourassetskc.com. Hey, David, how are you doing this week?
I've been really well. It's a beautiful winter day here in Kansas City, and I'm excited to talk a little bit about the SECURE Act today.
Nice and chilly. Glad that you've taken some time out to join us here on the podcast and get all cozied up with us here on the show instead of going out there and battling the cold weather. But good to hear that you are well. We are doing a two-part series on the SECURE Act. And David, this is something that we actually talked about back in December. And it was kind of funny. We were moseying about in that conversation saying, yeah, they're going to pass this at some point. You know, let's start getting prepared for it. Let's start talking about it, thinking about it, all this kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden, right before the holidays, boom, it passed.
It was kind of weird. The House passed it back in the summer, and then we weren't sure whether the Senate was actually going to take it up. And of course, they got the whole impeachment thing going on. But on December 20th, they passed it along with a big spending resolution. And so it kind of slid in there under the year-end deadline. And so there's some big changes coming, and I thought we'd just cover those today.
And if folks didn't hear our previous episode about the SECURE Act, I mean, you can always go back and listen to those. They were just a couple of episodes ago. But since it's law now, we're going to kind of recover some of that stuff on today's show and give you kind of more surety of what exactly is in the act, how it looks, how it's going to work, and how it's going to impact you. Before we go into the key changes in the SECURE Act, David, on today's show, would you say this is the most significant piece of financial legislation that's come down in recent memory?
Well, let's see. Would I go out on that limb? I'm not sure, but it is pretty rare that Congress makes changes to the laws surrounding IRAs and 401ks and stuff like that. So it's very rare. Of course, they have the mostly annual increases in how much we can put into those types of accounts. But changing the rules around them is really rare. So it's pretty darn significant.
Okay. Well, let's get into the key changes. What do people need to know about the SECURE Act? By the way, in part two of this podcast, on the next episode that we'll release a week from when this one is released, we're going to go more deeply into one particular aspect of the SECURE Act that we'll just touch on today. But take us through the key changes here, David.
Okay, well, I've got six of them, and the number six one that you just kind of mentioned a little bit, I'll cover that at the end, but that's probably the biggest and most complex of the changes. So number one is that there is now no maximum age above which you can't contribute to an IRA. Did I have enough double negatives in there?
I'm taking notes as you talk, and I'm like, okay, now no max which you can't not contribute.
Okay, so it used to be that when you turned 70 and a half, you couldn't put any more money into your IRA.
Okay.
And that's because required distribution started at 70 and a half. So now the deal is, as long as you have earned income or compensation income, you can continue to contribute to your IRA. I mean, if you work at a job until you're 85 or 90, you can continue to do an IRA contribution if you want to. You could always put money into a Roth, but your IRA contribution stopped at 70 and a half, and that is no longer the case. So that kind of begs the question, well, what is earned income or what is compensation? Well, maybe it's easier to tell you what it's not. It's not the Social Security payments you get, it's not pension payments you get, it's not any distributions you take out of IRAs or 401ks, and it's not interest and dividends you earn on your other money. So it's really job-related income. And as long as you've got it, you can put money into an IRA.
Overall, seems like a positive thing. Hey, you can keep saving for retirement in this vehicle. That's a good development. It is how I'm tracking it.
It is. And there was really, I'm sure that they thought there was some logic before at stopping it at 70 and a half. But whatever that logic was, it's been overturned and there is no age limit.
Okay. Very cool. What's next?
So the next is, under the old law, when you turned 70 and a half, you had to start taking money out of your IRAs. Why did you have to do that? Well, because the IRS said, look, we've been waiting around on this tax deferral thing long enough, And now that you've reached 70 and a half, we want to start taxing that money. So even if you don't need it, you have to start taking out at least a required minimum amount or required minimum distribution. And so this SECURE Act changed that age from 70 and a half to age 72. Now, I'm not sure where they came up with 70 and a half in the first place, but I kind of like the nice round number of 72.
It is really nice to finally get rid of that half year whenever we talk about it on the show, because it's so confusing to try and explain that when it's the half year of who it applies to. Is this the year that I have to start paying attention to that, or is it next year? Like, where's your birthday fall? We need an abacus to figure it out, you know?
It is. So here's an interesting example of an actual client couple of mine. They both turned 70 in 2019, but he turned 70 in May of 2019, and she turned 70 in September. Why is that important? Well, since he turned 70 in May, he turned 70 and a half last year. So he has to take a required distribution during 2019 and in 2020 and in 2021 and forever, as long as he's alive. But since she didn't turn 70 and a half in 2019, she does not have to take a required distribution in 2019 or in 2020. She doesn't start until 2021, so the year that she turns 72. So there are, you know, some little opportunities there. Neither of them need to take the money out because they got nice big pensions and Social Security money. But his timing will start now a year and a half earlier than what hers does, just because of where their birthdays fell in 2019.
But overall, a chance to get a little bit more growth in those accounts before you're forced to take money out of those accounts. Is that kind of the takeaway there?
Exactly. Okay. That's one of the benefits. And the other is, there are a lot of people that I work with that don't need that money. And once they have to start taking it out, that adds to their taxable income, which a lot of times bumps them up into the next highest tax bracket. So what it's going to do for a number of my clients is give them an extra year and a half where they might be able to do Roth conversions before those required distributions start out of those IRAs. Oh. So there's a number of opportunities involved in this, as well as just deferring the date out a little longer.
Okay. Six key changes in this SECURE Act. A couple down so far. David, what else we have?
Well, something in the old law, which still exists, is a qualified charitable deduction. And all that means is, let's say you don't have enough, when you're doing your taxes, you don't have enough deductions to itemize. You're just taking the standard deduction. But you still give money to your church or to your university or whatever. What you're able to do under the old law and the new law is that you can make that deduction, you can make that contribution directly to your church from your custodian. Let's just say, in my example, my client's monies are held at TD Ameritrade. We can have TD Ameritrade send that money directly to their church, and then it's not counted as income. So in other words, it's kind of like getting the deduction on top of the standard deduction you're already taking. What didn't change is this. Even though your required minimum distribution now starts at 72, you can still take these qualified charitable deductions when you're 70 and a half. Just an odd way to make things more complicated. However, it's a benefit for people that are doing that want to give that money directly to the church and get a tax deduction in effect because they don't have to count it as income. It's a really nice little benefit that remained at the age of 70 and a half. You don't have to wait to 72 to start those qualified charitable deductions.
As long as it's a benefit, it doesn't matter if it's complicated, right? We'll take that as a win when it comes to things that Congress is passing for us, right?
We'll take any benefit that comes our way.
That's right. Okay. So shorthand, those are QCDs, right? Isn't that, I've heard that term before.
That's exactly right.
QCDs. Okay. Very cool. I think I heard it on this show when we last talked about the SECURE Act, but in any event, I'm learning something from week to week here on the show, and that's the big takeaway here. Very important. What else we have on the SECURE Act that our listeners need to know about here, David?
for our younger listeners who are of childbearing age, you can now take money out, $5,000 or less, out of your IRA or 401k without any penalty. You still have to pay the taxes, but there's not that 10% penalty based on the birth or adoption of a child. So each year, each child, you know, I hadn't thought about this, but what if you have twins? Can you take out 10 grand?
That's a good point. I would think it would be per, would it be per child? I don't know.
If a client asks me that, I'll find out that answer. There, but I honestly don't know that on this podcast. I just thought that up. But new parents, birth or adoption, can take out 5 grand out of their IRA or their 401k penalty free. You still have to pay the tax, but there's no penalty.
Seems like another positive change. All positive so far for the most part here, David, other than a little complicated here and there.
Yes. And number five is positive and, you know, equally complicated. Actually, it's not complicated. It's just kind of a little bit of a backwater change. We talked about what compensation is under the first change. In other words, you know, it's job income or earned income. But they also added in that taxable fellowships and stipends. Let's say you're a graduate student or in your postdoctorate work and you get a fellowship or a stipend. That is now considered to be compensation or earned income, whereas under prior law, it was not. So if you find yourself in that spot and that's one of your key sources of income, you can use that to make a 401k or an IRA contribution.
Well, that's kind of helpful.
Kind of helpful. Not a huge change. Not going to affect a lot of people, but it's a positive.
And little tweaks, little increases, little changes are always nice and good. What about number six, the final key change in the Secure Act? We've had a good streak of good ones.
We have. So all good things must come to an end. And this is
I sense a but.
You did. You sensed a but. And the but is this. It's a big enough but that we're going to cover it on an entire podcast next week. But the big change is on inherited IRAs. And so if you listen to the show, you've probably heard enough of these episodes where at some point in the past, maybe twice or three times, we've covered something about inherited IRAs. And the big benefit to an inherited IRA, let's just say you inherit money from your mother or an uncle or a sibling. Under old tax law, you could take that money all at once. And of course, that's a taxable event. But you could spread that out over your life expectancy and take it out little bits at a time, which helps you manage your tax liability. What they did under this Secure Act change is they said only certain people can do that now, and it's a very exclusive group. Everybody else has to clean that IRA out within 10 years of the date of death of the person that you inherited from. So that's why I want to unpack this next week. It has big impacts for people who have put their IRA beneficiaries as their trust. If you're trying to give money to your grandkids through your IRAs, it has a lot of implications there. But if you're a spouse and you inherit an IRA from your spouse, this does not apply to you. That's the biggest exclusion for that. So four other excluded categories we'll cover in detail next week. But the long and the short of it is a whole lot of people who are going to inherit IRAs and pull that money out over their life expectancy, they just got that taken away from them.
Unfortunate, and it's going to cause a big conversation among many a retirement and financial planner and client, and that's why we're going to spend a whole episode on it next time around here on Cover Your Assets KC. So part two of our little mini series here of the six key changes in the Secure Act. You got full coverage of five of the six on today's show. We'll dive deeper into that sixth one, inherited IRAs and the stretch IRA, on the next episode. So come back and join us for that one. In the meantime, if you've got questions about how the Secure Act might impact your financial plan and your financial future, give David a call at 913-317-1414 to talk it out. 913-317-1414. And you can always go online to coveryourassetskc.com and get in touch through the website. That's coveryourassetskc.com. www.daviddickens.com. For show notes and information, look in the description of today's show in the show notes section, depending on what app you're using to listen to the program. It'll take you to the website, coveryourassetskc.com, where we put links to resources and ways that you can get help with your financial plan and your situation. David, thanks for the help on today's show. Look forward to talking to you again on the next one and getting all those details on those inherited IRAs and the big changes that are coming down the pike.
Yep, I'll look forward to that. We'll get that unpacked and hopefully a big help to certain of our listeners. So we'll see you next week.
Not even coming down the pike, actually, already here. So the changes that we need to go ahead and implement now, we're going to cover that next week. Thanks for being with us on the Cover Your Assets KC podcast. For David Dickens, I'm Walter Storholt. We'll talk to you next time.
Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and KC Financial Advisors are independent of each other.